Okay, good morning, Bereshis Rabbi Crown. So we are on the top of Yud Ches Amud Beis, just to orient ourselves and kind of rewind what we've been doing over the last week or two, as well as what we did yesterday. We start off with the idea or the discussion around where someone is self-admitting that they are owing or have some sort of, they're self-admitting that someone would have a claim against them, but in the same testimony, they're also protected themselves. So for example, they're saying, and this is the original case, is that this field belonged to your father, but I bought it from him. So therefore, he is admitting that this field at one point was not his, it was the person's father's field, which the person potentially didn't know about. But he's also saying that he purchased it. So therefore, that's why it's in his possession. So the concept is that because he's the one who brought it forward, he's the one who admitted it. Without him, you wouldn't have known about it. You would also believe him about the second part, which is where he acquired it as well. And from there, we kind of evolved into, what about if it's more of like a partial item, where, for example, he says something along the lines of, I borrowed $100 from your father, but I paid back 50 of those dollars. So again, he's admitting that he's bringing forward that he had the liability to the father, but he's also saying a claim that I only really owe half of it back. And the Gemara also talked about, what if it's not the father, but if it's the person himself. And then ultimately we got to the point where there was a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim, where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that in a case where someone partially admits that they owe something, so in other words, I borrowed 100 and I paid back 50, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say that you're required to swear, and the Chachamim say that you're not required to swear. And on that, we have a comment of Rava that we talked about yesterday, where Rava says that why would according to the Chachamim we require the person to swear? Because we say that even though he's making this partial admission, it's only because a person isn't bold enough to fully deny his obligation to someone. So if someone really believes that they owe something, even if they're not ready to admit it or they don't feel they have to admit it, they won't boldly say, I don't owe you anything. They'll admit to part of it. And then there's discussion about why that might be. And that comes down to the difference between in the Machlokas, where in the Machlokas, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that because of all that, he believes that the person has to swear. But the Chachamim say no, that when a person is self-admitting that there is this liability, he's doing as if he's doing Hashava Saveda. He's returning something that otherwise would not have been required to have been returned. No one would have known otherwise. So therefore, the Chachamim don't require it to be swearing to happen. We also discussed that maybe what this is talking about is where the people that the children knew about this debt to the father, but they were minors, and therefore what they were saying wasn't really a valid testimony. So kind of we went back and forth on that a little bit yesterday. So where we're up to now is on Yud Ches Amud Beis, where it says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Savar, it's approximately four lines from the top, and this is all commenting on what Rava said about the person not being so bold, etc. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Savar, bo velo shana bivno. There's no difference about whether this person is talking about himself owing the money or of his son, because whether he's talking directly to the person he owes or to the son of the person who the money was owed to, because enoma is a person is not going to be bold enough to deny the entire claim. And therefore, it's not like the one who would say it's Hashava Saveda, because it's kind of like everyone knows that there's a claim. I know there's a claim, and you know there's a claim. And therefore, I am not going to be bold enough to say that there's no claim, but I'll say that there's less of a claim. Ravana Savre, the Rabbanan held no, Bahu De'eno Ma'iz, that it's only when it's one-on-one, when it's the person to the person, that the person is not going to be bold enough to say anything. Alba bivno meis. If he's saying about something that happened between the guy and his father, where he's talking to the kids and the kids don't really know anything about it, he's not going to hesitate to be so bold about it. And because he's not going to hesitate to be so bold about it, and therefore he doesn't really need to say anything when it comes to the kids. If he says anything, makeshiv aved dahavi. Then it becomes as if he's doing a shavas aveda, and therefore he doesn't have to swear. So in the case of where he's talking about the father, a debt to the father, and he's talking to the children, the chachamim would say he does not have to swear because he didn't have to say anything, because there was no concern about him being this concept of being so bold not to say anything about it, because he's not talking directly to the person he borrowed from, he's talking to the next generation. Okay, moving on to the Mishnah. So just as a orientation around the Mishnah, so what the Mishnah is going to be talking about, and again, this is all on the concept of hapesha aser, that someone is self-admitting something, and therefore, but it was also by the same means, is also discounting something that he said, and therefore, the question is, do you believe the second part because you're trusting on the first part? So what we're talking about here is a case where someone borrows money and there's a shtar. The shtar is like a shtar that says that there was money borrowed between person A and person B, and there are witnesses on this shtar. And typically what would be done is when there was a shtar and they brought it to court because party A says, yes, I owed you money, part B says no, is that they would attempt to validate that the shtar was authentic by reviewing the witnesses on the document. And there's really were three ways that this was done. Way number one is that the actual witnesses would come in and say, yes, I signed it. Way number two is that they would do like a compare. They would say, here's a document that's signed by these witnesses. There's another document that we know we can trust that's signed by these witnesses. The signatures appear the same. So therefore, they would certify the signatures are accurate. The third way they would do that is to bring in someone else who was familiar with the witnesses, who would say, I recognize these signatures and they belong to the witnesses. So starting the Mishnah, Ha'edim Sha'amru. So here is where the actual witnesses come to court to certify their signatures. And they say, Ksav Yadein, who's that? Yes, we actually signed this. Aval Anusim Hayinu. But we were forced to sign it. Right? We didn't sign it on our own volition. We were forced to sign it. Or, Ktanim Hayinu. We signed it, but we were too young to be eligible to be signed. We signed it when we were 9 years old. So even, which isn't something that should have been allowed. So we signed it, but we didn't sign it in a correct way. Suli Edus Hayinu. We are people that are not fit to have been served as Edim. You know, there's categories of people that are not eligible to be Edim. We're in that category. Even though we were in that category, we still signed it. It
doesn't matter how old they are now, right?
It doesn't matter. Right. This is could be 50, this is 20 years later, right? So they have a document that they signed when they were 9.
Yeah.
Now they're 29, and they're saying, yes, we signed it, but we signed it when we were 9.
Okay.
Hare elu ne'amanim. In this case, they would be believed, meaning they're believed that they signed it. And it's both parts, right? They signed it, but they signed it incorrectly. Where the Gemara is going to talk about more about what that really means.
I guess the point is on this, they're admitting I did it, but so it's that's the
I did it, right. A and B, but ignore the fact it. But I did it wrong.
Okay.
So the question is, if you believe A, should you also believe B? That's the parallel with everything we talked about up to this point, right? If you're going to believe them on A, should you also believe them on B?
Right.
That's where the second part of the mission is saying, right? Im yesh edim shuk sav yadam. But if you're going to use one of the other methods of validating their signatures. In other words, we said you could either bring in other people that say, I certify that these are their signatures, right? Or they are validating their signatures against another certified source, right? So again, you're not relying on their testimony that these are their signatures, but you're validating it from another source. Einam ne'amanim, they're not believed. So again, this is parallel to what we talked about earlier, where we said if the guy admits it on his own about whether it's a beksuba or the woman says that she was a, you know, that the woman says that yes, I wasn't a basula for whatever, because I was a mukaseit or whatever it was. Once there's another factor involved where you would know this from another source, it becomes less significant the fact that they're acknowledging it themselves, because by the other source has proven it. So you can't rely, you can't say because I have A where they're bringing the fact, I should also believe B, because A doesn't matter anymore, because you have another way of proving what you need to prove.
Just a question, when those other Adim come and they say it's their signature, we're not talking about like when they were a minor. Or
no,
like,
no.
That's just the first part of
that's
the
just, thing,
right?
They said, so this, there's, not, again, there's, wrong, yeah. There's A and B. A is, how do you certify the signatures?
Yeah.
Either I say, yes, that's my signature.
Right.
Or Mark Glassberg says, yes, I recognize that's his signature.
Right.
Or there's another document that everyone knows is accurate that has my signature on it that everyone says it's the same. Right. So that's how you certify the signatures.
Right.
If A was done, where I am certifying it's my own signature, that's where I say, yes, I certify it, but. The question is, do you believe the but?
The but, right.
Right.
Okay, you don't have a but in the second part.
In the second case, you have another group another of people.
Party.
But the point is that now if they then say yes, that's my signature, but I was too young in the second part of the Mishnah,
right.
You're not relying on their testimony that they signed it.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, the rabbi term he uses, they're forced against the wall. Like they're, something else is showing that this is what happened,
mm-hmm.
So you're not dependent upon, so it's not Pesach Pasuach, it's not that they're revealing, right? They didn't reveal, some other source revealed, and now when they're challenging it, they have less of a leg to stand on.
Right.
It's quite the same, because I come up one day and say, I borrowed money from your father,
right.
And I paid it back. There was nothing before that. In
right.
In this case, there is a signature. There's signatures.
There's a signature.
It's just, there's...
The question is the signature legitimate or not?
Right. But there's something to start the process.
There is something to start the process.
Right.
Yes, there is something to start the process.
Right.
In your case, there's this piece of land, right? The question is, who owns it? Right, I own it today, but I say the way I owned it is that it belonged to your father, but I bought it.
Right.
Right. As opposed to someone says, this land used to belong to Harvey's father,
right.
And I have to say, well, but I bought it, right? So therefore, I have less strength to say, yes, I bought it if someone else is bringing the proof than if I'm bringing the proof. That's the whole point.
It's
a first cousin, right? So this is basically, without, you know, if you didn't have one of these three things, you potentially couldn't certify the shtar.
Right.
So if they didn't admit it themselves, there was no other way, you couldn't certify the shtar. What that means in the scheme of things, I don't know, but you couldn't certify the shtar. Okay, Amar Rami Baruchala, that in the Gemara. Lo Shanu, so this is talking about the, it doesn't matter when... If you have the when you have the ability to, like we talked about in the second case, where you have the ability for other people to certify it. No, so again, we're talking about the second part of the Mishnah. So what we're in the second part of the Mishnah, Ela Sha'amru Anusim Hayu Machmas Mammon. That if they said, so here you have, so again, we have this machlokas in the second part of the Mishnah about whether you're believing them or not. Or the Mishnah is saying you don't believe them in the second part of the Mishnah because you have this other source. So now, Rami Baruch Hama says, when the signatures can be authenticated by another source, and then they come, Elisha Amrum Anusim Hayunum Machmas Mamon. When they came and they said, like in the first part of the Mishnah where they said, we were Anusim, right? We were forced to do that. If there's a difference if they said we were forced to do this because of financial reasons, meaning you can interpret this two ways. Either that the person's gonna say, if you don't sign this, I'm gonna harm you financially, or another way of looking at it is they, you know, they were bribed in essence to sign the documents. If they come forward and they say, there's a difference if they come forward and they say, we were forced for financial reasons, Ava Anusim Hayinu Machmas Nefashos, if they were to say we were forced because of, on threat of our, to our lives, that they were going to kill us, Hare Elu Ne'amanim. So in the second part of the Mishnah, where they're said they're not believed, it goes, when we're talking about Anusim, we're saying they're not believed if there's somebody else that corroborates it, if they say they're Anusim for financial reasons, as opposed to being Anusim on threat of their lives.
I thought they said about themselves they were Anusim.
They said about themselves they were a nuisance.
Somebody else.
Someone else is. So again, this is the scenario where someone else is certifying their signatures. Okay. Right? And the Gemara answered, therefore they're not believed.
Okay.
So they're saying the reason they're not believed is when we're talking about a situation where if they said they're a nusim, we don't believe them because they did it for financial reasons. They didn't do it for the right reasons. And we'll explain a little bit why. Amrele Rava, do we really hold this way? Can a witness testify that they were forced to do something because they were on threat of death? So there's a concept that once a witness gives a testimony, they can't come back and give a second testimony that changes the testimony. So what happened here is they're giving a testimony, or they're giving a testimony, for example, that they signed something, but then they're offering this other piece of information.
Even if they were
ketanim. Even if they were ketanim, right? They can't say, so in other words, this is basically saying the fact that they testify A, you should end with A and not allow them to do B. So Rava is going to try to challenge this. Maybe what this is talking about is only where they're in court and what they did is they said, hey, this happened, but, right? Or they're testifying, I borrowed $100, but I borrowed it incorrectly, whatever. Aval b'shtar lo, but when it comes to what they're saying is talking about what's written on a shtar, that they're certifying their signature, that doesn't apply. You might say that this shouldn't apply in the case of a shtar, but this is thrown out. For Amar Reish Lakish, but Relations taught, Edim hachasuhim ashtar, nasa kamish nechrecha edusehen, when signatures are signed on a document, it's considered as if they actually gave formal testimony in court and that testimony was done. So Ella ki itmar. So what were we talking about? Aresha itmar. Maybe when he said what he just said about the idea of either being forced for money versus forced for on threat of life, is talking about the first part of the Mishnah where there is no other certifying people, they're certifying themselves. Hare elu ne'amanim. In that case, that's why they're believed. Amarami brachana. So in other words, if it's monetary, he's saying in the first part of the Mishnah where it says they are believed, he's qualifying to say they're only believed if when they say they were a nusim was because they were going to die. That's on the first part of the Mishnah. Lo shan amar Rabbi Bukhani, Rabbi Bukhani would respond to that. Lo shanu ela sha'amru anusim hayu umachmas nefashos. That this was taught only where they said we were forced because of threat of life. Avo amru anusim hayu umachmas mamon inu ne'amanim. You wouldn't believe them if they were to say that they were forced because of money. Why? A my taima. Adam ein adim masa asmo rasha, that a person is not allowed to testify negatively about himself. So by virtue of him saying, in essence, I did this for monetary reasons or I was bribed or whatever, he's basically testifying against himself. And you don't allow someone to testify negatively about themselves.
So they're admitting to doing something wrong.
But you're not accepting their testimony because you don't allow them to testify negatively about themselves.
Self-incrimination,
right. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Bereisa. Ein ne'aman lefoslo, that witnesses who come to validate their signature, this is exactly our case, are not allowed, not believed to say that it's not valid. Divrei Rabbi Meir is what Rabbi Meir says. They would be believed to say that they signed it, but their signatures are invalid. So we could understand what the Rabbanan are saying based upon what their logic. This is the whole thing we've been talking about for weeks now, right? That because they're believed, they say they're believed because just like they were able to say it was my signature, they're also able to say that it's invalid. El Rabbi Meir, my time. What's Rabbi Meir's explanation why you wouldn't allow them to be postulate? So Bishlam Apsule Edus. So it makes sense where they say we were puzzle. In other words, we were too young or whatever. Malve Gufe Mikara Medik De Mechtam. Because when someone lends money to someone else, he's going to make sure that these witnesses are legitimate. So therefore, you don't believe them if they say that they were ineligible witnesses. So, you know, they can say that all they want, according to him. You wouldn't believe him because no one's going to lend money if he knows that these witnesses, without checking and verifying that the witnesses are legitimate. Tanim Nami, what about if they're saying that they were too young? Says going to the top of your test. Chazaka ein ha'edim posim al ashtar, that there was a presumption that witnesses don't sign an ashtar, el im kei nase begadol, unless they're adults. So you wouldn't ever have a case where children would sign it. So therefore, according to him, there's no reason to be concerned about those other two things. Ela anus in my time. What about when we're talking about where they say that they were forced? So why wouldn't, according to Rabbi Meir, they wouldn't be believed? Why is this not hapesha? So just like they were believed to say they certified it, that they signed it, they should also be believed to say they were anusim. Rav Chista, Kesavar Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds, Eidim she'amru lahem chasmu sheker v'al taregu. If witnesses are told, sign it or I'll kill you, right? Yaregu v'al yechatmu sheker. They should sign it. They should allow themselves to be killed and not sign it. We know this isn't really what you're supposed to do, but he says it was, this is what you should do. You shouldn't sign falsely. You should allow yourself to be killed and not sign falsely, so therefore you wouldn't believe it. So obviously this is going to be pushed back on, like we would expect. Amalei Rava. Rava says, Rav Chista, Hashta ilu asu, l'kamen amulamuche. If they had come before us in our Bezdin and asked us and said, these people are threatening to kill us unless we sign this falsely, Armelahu, we would have said, Zielu chasmu velo titkalkun. Go sign it and don't be killed. Right? The Amar Mar, Ein lecha davar she'omim b'fnei pikuach nefesh. We know this very well, that you wouldn't sign a document as a witness because of on threat of death, because pikuach nefesh trumps all of that. And the only things that don't do that, Ela, avodas kochavim, v'yuli arayis, v'shvichas damim bilvad. Only the big three are the things that you have to give up your life without doing it. So someone tells you to swear falsely, to sign falsely, or they're going to kill you, just sign it and save your life. Hashta de chasmu amrina le amai chasmu. Now that they signed it, you're going to say to them, why did you sign? We don't believe you. How could you have been onsim in this case? So Ella, so therefore this is challenging with what Rav Meir's position is. Ella Taimed Rav Meir, Kid Rav Huna Amar Rav. The Rav Meir holds Rav Huna in the name of Rav. The Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Moda Bishtar Shekasvu Ein Sarach L'Kaimo. So if someone agrees that he wrote this document, you don't need to have the actual signatures validated. So since this document might be, so again, this kind of challenges what we said at the beginning, but this is like, since the document may have been valid according to this opinion, even without certification of the witnesses, therefore, it's not so essential that they're coming forward and saying that, certifying their signatures. So since the document could be valid without having the certification of the witnesses, then you wouldn't, so you don't need their A, so therefore you wouldn't believe their B, that it was also they signed it under false pretenses. So with this, we'll stop and we'll pick up again next week. I believe next week we'll do Tuesday and Wednesday. Have a wonderful day.